got a condo in Manhattan. Baby girl, what's happening? You and your
welcome back to that 590 show. We have a text coming in from the Baldwin Bottom Feeder. Stanton's a knee-jerk reaction to the poor offense. I'm with Berger. Need a power-hitting bat at the hot corner. The Baldwin Bottom Feeder is a great American.
Okay.
He probably risks for Danny LaRusso, too.
You're right. The Cardinals need to find the one of the four of those who exist in the world. Power-hitting power-hitting third basemen just aren't.
That's why you got to.
And if they are, they come up with the caveat of they strike out 160 times.
That's why you go. You have to go all in.
And they're
in
not that good
him.
At third base.
You have to go. Oh, he's great at third base.
I know. I'm saying he is. I'm saying every other one who's a power-hitting third baseman, finding one who's actually good at third base is halfway impossible. I know Manny Machado is going to be available in theory, but Giancarlo Stanton appears to be available now.
Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the editor-at-large of TheRinger.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Brian Curtis. Brian Curtis, how are you, sir?
The Ringer's very own power-hitting third baseman. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great. You have a couple of great articles on The Ringer right now. One is what pivoting to video really means, talking about what happened at FoxSports.com and how they laid off all the writers and editors and wanted to go to video-only content. And then the very next day, you have what Jamie Horowitz leaves behind at Fox Sports because Jamie Horowitz got let go amongst sexual harassment allegations. What is going on at Fox and sexual harassment, Brian? I don't understand what's going on.
I mean, it's just mind-blowing. And I was, as someone who, excuse me, who watched all the carnage happen with Fox News with mouth on the chin on the floor as those details came out, to then have it sort of, again, allegedly, it was very early, and I don't want to, you know, we don't want to jump too far off the bridge here, but to see Horowitz go down in a sexual harassment probe, as it's being called at this point, I just couldn't believe it. It's just shocking to me.
And
the whole thing was shocking.
And there's just something going on with Fox, too, because you said you have Jamie Horowitz at Fox Sports, and you're talking about Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly, who were let go at Fox News Channel. And then today, Charles Payne at Fox Business Network, he has been suspended amidst sexual harassment allegations as well. So I don't know if you knew this, Brian, but we have exclusive footage of the video that they show the employees at Fox whenever they're getting employed at Fox, the video they get ready to show them, this is what it sounds like.
Sexual harassment is a very serious charge, Mr. Griffin.
All right, look, first of all, if I can speak in my own defense, all I did was tell a little joke. Second of all, women are not people. They are devices built by the Lord Jesus Christ for our entertainment.
Peter, please.
Miss Ironbox, I assure you this company in no way condones Peter's conduct. In fact, a film on employee relations has been a mandatory part of our personnel training for 50 years.
Irrational and emotionally fragile by nature, female co-workers are a peculiar animal. They are very insecure about their appearance. Be sure to tell them how good they look every day, even if they're homely and unkempt.
You're doing a great job, Muriel, and you're prettier than Mamie Van Doren.
And remember, nothing says good job like a firm, open-palmed slap on the behind.
And that, of course, is the great Seth MacFarlane and Family Guy. But
sounds,
I mean,
fair and balanced to me.
Is that what they're teaching the employees over at Fox? Like, this is how we do things, like back in the 1950s. Like, it's Sterling Cooper.
You know, I just, you know, it's okay. We think it's a joke, but it's like I can't believe that this has now happened in multiple, again, allegedly in the case of Fox Sports, because we don't actually know what happened. But I just can't believe that the story continues to pop up.
So,
I really can't.
So what do you think the future is at Fox Sports? Because I listen to Colin Cowherd pretty much on a daily basis, and he tweeted this out as well, that his subscriber rate was through the roof for the month of June. I think he said they had 8 million downloads of his podcast. So it sounds like some of them are doing pretty well at Fox Sports, but is this kind of like a rudderless ship right now?
Yeah, and you know, my guess would be that they just double down on what they already have. Look, they're so into Skip Bayless. They are so into Colin Cowherd in terms of salary, in terms of promotion. They're so far down that road. And the other question is, what are you going to change it to, right? Wasn't Jamie Horowitz's biggest point that the video, the highlight-driven Sports Center was a thing of the past?
Yeah, and you wanted debate shows only, yeah. Embrace
the
debate.
You just can't. Even if you say, well, we don't want debate, well, what's the other option? what are you going to put on there? They tried Regis. You going to bring him back? You know, is that gonna happen in the morning? Donovan McNabb and Andy Roddick analyzing.
Hey, I'd watch. Why not? That sounds like it might be kind of entertaining. Regis Philbin and Donovan McNabb talking about what's going on in the world of the NFL. Yeah, why
not? Together again. Yeah, it's like it would be the opposite of hot take. At least we put it like that. But I think the, I think in a way they just don't have many options, and they have Big Ten football in the fall. And to me, if I'm running that ship, I'm all about let's get to the Big Ten and see where we go from there.
When ESPN, when they announced that their layoffs, and there were a lot of people that were rejoicing in it because they think that ESPN has this big, huge political bias, and a lot of people were talking about how they don't watch ESPN anymore because it's too politically driven. There's no highlights. There's nothing like that anymore. And the whole time I was saying, okay, well, if that's the case, then how come Fox Sports 1 isn't doing that? How come Fox Sports 1, they have the same kind of access to the data that ESPN has as far as viewership goes. How come they're not going, yeah, you know what? They're demanding highlights of the Milwaukee Brewers and the Minnesota Twins on a Tuesday night. So we're going to go back to the way SportsCenter was back in, you know, the early 2000s and the 90s, and we're going to go back and just showing highlights for an hour. If that's what people really wanted, how come Fox Sports 1 isn't looking at that and jumping on it? They're doing the same thing ESPN's doing.
I guarantee it that Horowitz, if he thought that people wanted day baseball highlights and scores at 6 o'clock in the evening, he would have put it on. I mean, that's just he's not doing something that doesn't think people wanted, you know. And you're absolutely right. I mean, this was the whole point of FS1, was essentially to take what he thought was working at ESPN, cut out all the stuff he thought was a part of the past and wasn't working, and program the whole network with Skip and those guys arguing.
I'm sorry, you kind of cut out there. What did you say?
Anyway, that's just the whole idea behind the network.
It's basically just kind of like make the entire network just basically First Take.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, absolutely. It's First Take followed by First Take followed by First Take.
Go ahead, Rock.
How does this change by a site as big as Fox Sports? Obviously, when you're looking at The Ringer, kind of, in my opinion, the best long-form sports site out there, and obviously a lot of culture stuff as well. How did you guys look at that, considering not only have you been different from Fox Sports in the first place, but now they moved and you guys are at completely diametrically opposed, just extremes on either side of how to get content to people?
You know, I think you look at it less as competition or different styles, and you just sort of fear for the future of the industry. Especially those of us who are old-fashioned enough to have started careers in writing, full stop, and like writing articles and all that stuff. And you hear this, there was this horrible phrase that last week, pivot to video. We're pivoting to video, which is a new euphemism for you're laid off. You know, you writer, get out of here. And a couple of other sites did it too, MTV News and all these other places. And I think if anything, it just makes me scared. And it just makes me, you know, wonder how are we going to continue, and not The Ringer, which I'm not worried about, but how are we as an industry going to continue to promote the written word, do great articles, do long articles, as you say, and really put that interesting stuff out there, and how are we going to pay for all this?
And the weird thing is that there are some really great articles, long articles that are out there, stuff that's on The Ringer. I read a couple on ESPN.com. There was one that Rye Thompson wrote about Pat Riley a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And then there was one about the football player for Rochester University who was kidnapped and tortured for like 4 days.
That was amazing.
That was amazing too. So, I mean, like, there is great journalism out there. Do you think some of it is kind of like this microwave society that we live in, that no one's got the attention span to sit there and read an article that may take them, you know, a whole 10, 15 minutes out of their life? They just want, like, you know, a couple minute video and that's it.
Well, I tell you, it's actually even worse than that, because I'm not convinced people won't read articles. It's just that the advertisers think if you put an ad at the beginning of a video, it's harder to ignore than if you put an ad next to a news article. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. They're not saying we don't think people are reading articles. I mean, look at the number of people reading everything from the New York Times to something like The Ringer. There's a lot of readers out there. But what they think is that somehow our, you know, reptilian brains will watch an ad if it runs for 30 seconds before a two-minute video, rather than look at an ad if it runs next to an article. So they go, oh, we want the video. So make more videos and we'll give you more ads. I mean, that's all it is. It's that cynical. And it's that simple. And I just think, you know, you think, oh, my gosh, so we have to make a bunch of videos? Okay. What are those going to be like?
Berger's question about kind of how long people are able to lock in made me just think about something about The Ringer, which is you guys put the read time of all your articles at the very top header, Was that something that was consciously done because people are, you're constantly thinking, you know, do I have 10 minutes to read this? You know, everyone knows it's going to be longer articles, so that way people can sit down and say, all right, 6 minute read time, I got 10 minutes, I can do this. His question just made me think about that. It's a little thing I noticed you guys have been doing, I'm pretty sure, since the beginning. What was the conscious thought process behind that?
You know what? Actually, I believe it came with Medium, because they're the ones who designed our site. And so they have this little feature on there that shows you how long it takes to read an article. So we kind of inherited it. I want another little button that shows this is how long Brian took to write the article. You know? So it's like 9 days, 150 hours, and the next to it, the reading time is 9 minutes. that'll put everything into perspective.
You'll also scare any young writer who goes, wait, it took you that long to put that together?
Yeah. I'm not going into that profession.
It both informs and gives a public service announcement.
What was that?
There you go.
What was that line at Top Gun? What was that number for that truck driving school? That truck driving school that we saw on TV last night? Brian Curtis from TheRinger.com joining us right now on the Belmont Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Brian Curtis. There's the paragraph that you wrote here on the article about Jamie Horowitz. Two things that made Horowitz controversial. One, he hired hosts who were nakedly traffic and stereotypes. To the accusation that his host could be radioactive, Horowitz said he wanted incisive programming. As Ben Mathis-Lilly pointed out in Slate, Horowitz also frequently mentioned a cone suggested to him by none other than Rupert Murdoch. Be wary of the allure of the elite. Do you want to please media critics or Trump voters? I think that is just such a telling thing right there. If you're out there and you're listening and you voted for Trump, I'm not trying to go after you, but Trump voters are seen as being kind of like the lowest common denominator. So do you want to go for the elite, or do you want to appeal to the lowest common denominator?
Well, yeah, or even just regular people, that could even mean.
That could be that too, absolutely.
You know, it's just a different kind of viewer you're chasing. And, you know, that whole analogy was suggested to me by an ESPN executive when Skip Bayless was a free agent, when Fox and ESPN were throwing millions at him trying to get him to sign up with their network. And somebody said, you know, the decision where the network is having to make is, do we want to please those fancy pants media critics like Brian Curtis, or do we want to go after regular people, a.k.a. people voting for Trump? This is long before Trump was even the nominee, but
sure.
And, you know, that is, I think, what Horowitz's big thing was, and that is exactly what that Rupert Murdoch was. Be wary of the allure of the elites, right? You're programming for regular people. If you get killed in the press again and again and again, you're not going to worry about it as long as people are watching and as long as people are talking about the show. That's how we program the network.
And the strange thing is that, okay, you landed that big fish in Skip Bayless, and the ratings for Undisputed have not exactly been great. Richard Deitch is always tweeting out what Skip Bayless's ratings are whenever Skip Bayless tweets out something completely ridiculous about how, you know, LeBron's a bum or this, that, or the other thing. So if Skip Bayless is so popular, then how come the ratings for the Undisputed aren't better?
Yeah, and I think what Horowitz would argue is that they were basically starting from zero, as we talked about that original Regis Philbin incarnation.
That's a good point, yeah.
Had no viewers.
I completely forgot about that show until you said that. That was like him and this whole panel. I think Katie Nolan was on it, too.
Absolutely. She was the watchable part.
Yes, she was.
The part people talked about. But the other thing was, you know, that they have slowly sort of caught up to ESPN2. And I think, you know, the plan there, and who knows if it would have worked because he didn't really have much time there, was to first catch up to ESPN2. And then go after the mothership. You noticed basically ESPN2 took first take and put it on ESPN1. They shifted almost all their original programming outside of like Mike and Mike, you know, the simulcast, and put it on ESPN1 and essentially said, okay, ESPN2 is going to be more of this kind of thing where we just put games and stuff. And, you know, if FS1 had been able to fully overtake ESPN2 and done it consistently, and then got after ESPN1, I don't know what would happen. But yeah, to your point, they never managed to put a truly big number on the board, ratings-wise.
So what do you think the future is for FoxSports.com?
I just think, I just, I don't think they know right there, right now. But if I had to guess, you know, look, we've been told this again and again for years. Why do people watch sports television? It's not because of the people talking on there. It's because of live programming, right?
Absolutely.
If you have big games, people are going to go. Remember, you know how you guys in the fall, whenever we turn on ESPN at like 11 a.m. Central, and frickin' Michigan is on every single time.
Every time.
Michigan again?
Yeah.
Michigan Purdue? Michigan Central? Michigan? Can I get rid of Michigan? Well, now Fox has a share of that package, right? And that stuff, not me, not you maybe, but that stuff people want to watch. And, you know, Fox is going to have, not FS1, but Fox is going to have Ohio State, Michigan this year. I mean, they have... they're starting, and they're going to have Big Ten basketball. And they're going to start having a real inventory of games. And I think that, you know, if I'm the network, my whole strategy is let's get to the fall, let's get those games started, let's get into football season, probably more or less with the team we have, and then let's figure out what we can do, what we want to do with this network.
And they have a couple of new shows coming up on Fox Sports 1 as well. I know that Nick Wright and Chris Carter, they're going to have, like, basically their version of Undisputed that I think is going to be on either before Undisputed or right after it.
In the morning, yeah.
It's going to be on in the morning. And as soon as I heard Chris Carter was going to be a part of the show, I'm like, count me out. I didn't like Chris Carter when he was on ESPN, and he always talked like he invented the game of football. I found him kind of annoying and condescending. But go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, I'm really interested to see what Nick Wright comes up with, because I think he's a really, you know, he's one of these guys who just almost you're like, whoa, where'd he come from? And all of a sudden he's on everything. You know, there's been a couple of those people in sports television here and there. So I am interested to see what he's going to do when he has a big venue like that.
He started out as a writer, and I think that Colin Cowherd had him on a show a couple times, and he hit on a couple things too. And you know, like I think Nick Wright, I think he's kind of a funny guy as well. He was kind of going off on Danny Ainge a couple days ago about how Danny Ainge doesn't want to give up any of the draft picks to make his team any better. Yeah. And I'm sure your boss at the Ringer, Bill Simmons, I'm sure he had a very tumultuous, an up and down couple of days. You know, they signed Gordon Hayward, but now they're trading Avery Bradley to make room for Gordon Hayward, and they lose Kelly Olynyk. So has the team really gotten that much better? I'm sure Bill is just like an emotional wreck at this point.
You think we're interested in Celtics news at the Ringer? What? You think we're following that story?
I'm sorry. I confuse you guys with Barstool Sports, my bad.
There you go.
I'm actually only surprised there was only two Jason Tatum articles.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a lot of people in St. Louis who are really interested now in the Boston Celtics because of Jason Tatum.
I wouldn't be surprised if you guys had a sitemap to see where you got a lot of hits on certain articles and if there wasn't just a giant blob on St. Louis for every Jason Tatum article.
Guarantee it happened.
We noticed the spike in traffic from the Midwest the last week, so I'm gonna tell Bill that it was St. Louis.
It absolutely was. Yeah.
There was a play that Jason Tatum, he was making a couple sick plays during the summer league. They were awesome, and I got hit with like four retweets of the same video clip before Bill Simmons hit that video clip. If that tells you anything. People are going crazy for him here. It's ridiculous.
I like that.
The NBA is starting to garner more interest in St. Louis because we've had players from St. Louis make it to the NBA.
Yeah, five currently.
So yeah. So there's a lot more interest in the NBA in St. Louis than there has been in years past. There's no doubt about that.
That's good. There's a hole to fill in the programming, right?
You're right about that.
Tell your NBA writers.
Yeah, we can't see the book one to save our lives. We keep booking. We have Shane Young on how many times, like, and Shane's great. We have Shane Young all the time for B-Ball Breakdown, and Peter Vesci and Andrew Claudio. Like, these are the only three NBA people we can get, and we have them on like once a week. They're probably sick of us.
Well, I'm gonna go rattle the cage of the Ringer writers.
We'd appreciate it. Yes. Yeah, we'd appreciate it, Brian.
What are you guys doing?
Brian Curtis, thank you for your time this evening, sir. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, Brian. That is the great Brian Curtis from TheRinger.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Brian Curtis. Let's take a commercial break. And then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by J.J. Bailey, lead baseball writer for KMOV.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.